I just want to share with you, I saw today something, and I felt it made a great impression on me. I saw that Reb Eli Lopian was a Mashkiach in Kfar Chassidim. He had an interesting story. Was he went to Kfar Chassidim, became Mashkiach there in his old age, and he thought that it's probably his retirement age, that's going to be the his final years, he's going to finish off there. Turns out that he was there for another 20 years, it was Niftar, very old. And only once in his lifetime he interrupted Bochim from learning Torah. Only once in a lifetime he interrupted Bochim from learning Torah. Only once he interrupted. And that was for the following reason. It was one day he banged on the bima in the Beis Medrash and interrupted old Bochim running. He said, I would like to share with you something that happened today. And that's what he said. That's what Eli Lopian said. He said that he went into Yerushalayim that day. Yerushalayim in those days, they were still paving they were making the streets. It's not called paving. What's that called when you put the tarmac? You know, when you build a new street, what is that called? You're making the new streets. What's the English word for that? When you're surfacing. Thank you very much. Yeah. Surfacing. Thank you very much. Yes, absolutely spot on. Yeah. So you're surfacing. And in those days, Yerushalayim was just about growing straight after the war. Tonight, we're talking about early 50s maybe, and they were surfacing the road, making it, producing the, and there was two people there, and it's the worst kind of work you can think about, the heat and the smell, it's really awful, it's even now bad, but it must have been even worse some 50, 70 years ago, it must have been really, really bad, and the heat, and think about the heat in that soil, it must have been really, really near impossible to do. So when he saw two people then, and Rabbi Eli Lopian, so one of them was really, really, was a shiny, was a happy face, a happy person, despite the black hands and black face, he looked pretty happy. The other one was a really depressed kind of person. So he went up to him and said, why are you so sad? What's happened? Why are you so sad? Why do you look so depressed? And as he told the Rabbi Eli Lopian, he said, I'm resurfacing the road, look at what I'm doing over here, it's the worst kind of work you can think about, I'm hardly getting any pay. This is Gehenna in this world, this is terrible, I'm just come from Europe, I've lost all my family, the war, and I've lost everything that I've got, and I'm surfacing the roads here, the heat is unbearable, and I can't even make ends meet without, it's terrible. And he looked at the other person who had a smile on his face, and he said, why are you so smiley, why are you so happy? And then he said, well, what can be better than that? Think about it, I'm living in Eretz soil, and I'm surfacing the roads. And that's the roads that eventually you're not going to be walking on, they're going to run to Shul on those roads, they're going to run to Beis Medrash on those roads, they're going to bring Kinderlach to Beis Medrash and to Shul and to Ched on those roads. These are the roads. They're going to enable many, many people to fulfill mitzvahs. And isn't that an amazing zechus? Isn't that an amazing zechus to be in that position, to make, to create and surface roads in Eretz Yisrael? And he was, isn't that a gewaldige zechus? I'm so happy that I've given anything away. And noch, I'm getting paid for it as well. That's what this yid said. So Rabbi Eli Lopian was absolutely flabbergasted. It was mind-blowing. He went straight from there into a Beis Medrash and he banged the beam and said, I want to share with you this. Because, of course, the most haskel from the days, what do you learn from this? Yeah, that's right. It's exactly the same action. Both are doing exactly the same action. Doing exactly the identical action. They're surfacing the roads and one is totally depressed about it and one is really thrilled about it. Well, the same action, two different outlooks. Simon Kuf Mem Aleph. Now, what do you think about it? It's good? Have I mentioned this? I mentioned it. I really did. I just saw it today. So you remember better than me. I saw it today. Oh, good. Okay. So that looks like I'm going a bit. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I saw it today. So it must be that. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Rabbi Yisai, we're up to Simon Kuf Mem Aleph, and we are up to the Seif Ches, page 48, and we're learning the following. Kol tevel she'ikri v'ksiv. Any word which has a kri and a ksiv, we know that from the Chumashim as well, is a kri and a ksiv. One is the authentic way of writing the Sefer Torah, and one is the way it should be read. So kri is the way it should be read, and the ksiv is the way it is actually written. So kol tevel she'ikri v'ksiv. Halacha leMoshe Misina, it is a halacha leMoshe Misina, which means that it's literally a tradition going back from Moshe Rabbeinu, who received the Torah in Sinai. Shetenichteves k'moshei b'Torah, it should be written in a certain way, the way it's in the Torah. Ve'nikreis, and it's read be'en yinach in a different way. So it's read in one way, and it's written in a different way. That's kri v'ksiv. There was a story that one person who read it the way it is actually written in front of Gdol HaDor, HaRabonim, HaRav, Rabbi Yitzchok Abuav, HaRav, Avram, Valasni Varav Rebavum Valasni Bnoi. So there's many names of Gedolim, that's very rare. Shulchan Aruch actually goes through the names of those Yidden, of those Heilige Yidden, Ve'ihisroboi Shikro Gefiyah Mesoira. He said that they warned him, Nisbal Koir, he said, you're not allowed to read the way it's written. You have to read it through the Mesoira, the way the tradition says you should read. They warned him, Ve'ihisroboi Shikro Gefiyah Mesoira, Ve'loi Rotzo, and he refused. He said, no, I'm reading the way it's written, I'm not interested. Ve'nidu, they put him in Cheirem, Ve'eridu Ma'atevo, and they pulled him off the Teva, they didn't allow him to read anymore and to learn anymore. Because he read not according to the Mesoira. The Mishneh Berurah in Sif Katan Chav Zayin explains the following. You have to read the way the Mesoira tells us, the Kabbalah, the tradition, to read in a certain way. We don't go according to the written way. The Nikra Mesoiras Ba'almo, Eim La Mesoiras. It's called the Miesh Eim La Mesoiras. There's a mother for the Mesoira. In other words, there is tradition. It's the right way of paskening. Yesh Eim, the mother. That's the real way of doing things, according to the Mesoira. Now, the Mishneh Berurah now asks a very posh question, and he says as follows. We spoke extensively about the idea that you're not allowed to read by heart, to say the laning by heart. Do you remember we spoke about it? Even if you know the Sefer Torah by heart, you're not allowed to read it. It's very, very relevant for Bar Mitzvah boys. Even if you know it by heart, you're not allowed to just say it by heart. You need to read it. So what's the halach over here? You're not actually reading it. You're saying it by heart. Is there a problem, or what do you do about it? So he says, "Veleka mishum isaliko is batorah." There's no problem of reading the Torah. Hafilo isachas shaloi minaksav. There's no problem over here of not reading from the Torah. That not even one letter you mustn't say by heart. Why not? The shiny hacha, because obviously here it's different. The shekachi halacha l'moshe m'sinai, because this halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So the halacha l'moshe m'sinai tells me that's the way it has to be read, that's the way it should be said, and therefore there is no problem of saying laning by heart. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens over here in the Mishneh Berurah. Now there is a shaila which I saw the poskim discuss. A very interesting shaila. Rav Wozner addresses the following shaila. He says, what's the halacha when there is the case that he speaks about is that some wax fell on the Sefer Torah, and potentially it would be a problem. You'd have to scratch it off. But it fell not on a regular letter, it fell on a regular word, it fell on a word which is a Kriya Niksiv. Can you think of an example? A Kriya Niksiv? It fell on a word that is read differently than it's written. One of those words that I mentioned over here. Does it problem or not? So whilst a normal word, the halacha is scratch it off. It's a problem. It's a psul. But over here, the argument could be that since you're anyway not reading it, you're just going to say it by heart. Yesh Eim L'Mesoiras. There's a tradition how you read these words. So maybe, because you're not reading it anywhere, you're going to be saying it by heart anyway. Maybe it's not a problem. Problem? Because I'm specifically not saying a shaila of a case that it's smudged or the letter is not an appropriate way. I'm definitely not saying that shaila. Because if it would be that shaila, you're right. The Sefer Torah will become possible. I'm talking about a scenario. I'm not talking about a letter that could potentially puzzle on Sefer Torah. I'm not talking about a psul in the letters. I'm talking about a case, like the wax case. That is a shaila that it just you have to see to it because you have to read minaksav. You have to read it. You can't read it if there was a wax on it. Does that change your psak? What would you say?
Only on a
kriya ksiv. Yeah.
So kriya ksiv is a little different.
You say that because what are you saying? That what?
It's the same pattern. Kriya ksiv is not a full word. Then if it's on a root,
I'm not reading that word.
You're not reading that word. You're anyway going to say it by heart because you're not reading it anyway. Havuzn is matter. Havuzn says, of course, Chatchel, you should take it away if it's not Shabbos. Of course, you should take it away if you can. On another letter, you have to get rid of it. It's a problem because you're not reading from the Sefer Torah.
It's a part of it. But if that would be the letter that's
your Lamed, and there's a Chelik of the Lamed, which Lulei Hoy would still not be possible, would be fine. Yeah. So that's the. It's interesting halacha. I think it's interesting chiddush ma'avozna. But of course, chachil, you should if it's weak there. But on Shabbos, if that's what we've got in front of you, he says, keep going. Yeah. Sif kuf mem beis din mishikara v'tar v'markim she'en sham yodelikos b'diuk. This is a shaila of. This is a shaila of when you actually, when does the Baal Kerem make a mistake and you have to tell him, you have to protest, you have to tell him, you have to tell him that's the mistake, go back. Very, very difficult halachas. When does the Baal Kerem's mistake make you, you have to go back and when not? So what's the rule of thumb? Mishana the meaning. If what he read changes in meaning than what it's written really, then it's going to be, you have to tell him to go back. That's not simple. You have to know a lot of grammar for that. Is that the rule? If it changes its meaning, you have to go back. And if it doesn't change the meaning, you keep going. What's the rule of thumb? Pardon?
If it changes the meaning.
Change the meaning, is that the rule of thumb?
If it mispronounced.
Mispronounced. It's interesting, Shaila mispronounced. Okay, we're going to learn those halachas, that's Seif Aleph over here. Before we proceed, I want to ask an interesting Shaila, which is not discussed in Shulchan Aruch, for very obvious reasons. There is, I don't know exactly what it is, I only understand what it is from a tshuva. So I didn't actually see it. But what I saw is that Rav Ozan speaks about, in one of the early halakim, he speaks about the following interesting idea. They produced, it appears, a see-through plastic. You know about this? Have you ever seen it?
Sure.
It's a top as well as the valves and the kudus. So what it is, it's a plastic, a see-through plastic that is created that you just put it flat on the Sefer Torah, and on that you've got the valves. Imagine how easy it makes for the Baal Kerem. That would, you don't have to pay him anymore after that. Especially if you put the top on it. I didn't see with the shiny with the top, but probably you put the top on it as well. So imagine that. You take a plastic, so it has to be quite an enterprise to create it, but it seems that it exists. So you put it on the Sefer Torah, right, and then you've got the vowels. Clever? Clever. I don't know who thought of it. Very clever. So I was now asked if it's a problem or not. And if there is a problem, what is the problem?
No.
Takes away the fun, okay, but besides that, Hefsik. That's so interesting. That's exactly what he discusses. That's exactly what he says. So at first glance, he says, it could be the chatzitza, or Hefsik maybe. He's Hefsik. So he says, Imam Shlezi, what about the brillen? What about the glasses? Is there a real difference between glasses that you can see through, assuming they're not as dirty as mine, the glasses and a plastic which is on the calf? Is there any difference? Well, what's your gut feeling? Different?
Glasses you need.
Baal Kerem should be a bit better prepared than that. Yeah. What do you Taina?
Probably not, so it would be more
used. Yeah, it's a very good idea. What do you Taina? What would be your problem?
I guess
the
problem of putting something on the cloth.
Yeah.
Touching cloth.
Yeah, touching cloth. So Avozna, he says, he struggles. You could see he's got an agenda on that in that tshuva. You could see that he wants to ask it. He wants to forbid it. And he's not right, quite sure. So at the Maisa, he brings this and he brings that. At the end, he says that it is potentially a problem of chatzitza. Chatzitza. He says that when you read from a, when you line from the Sefer Torah, it has to be direct. Now, I don't exactly know what the makor of that is. We didn't really see a loch of chatzitza when it goes from Sefer Torah. But he says it's very different than glasses, and there could be a problem of chatzitza. I saw other poskim as well, Moshe Sternbuch, and other poskim as well. They all asser it. They're not quite clear exactly why it should be also, but he said it's also. He said that glasses, he says, is considered, his nusach is that glasses is not chatzitza because, he said that it's nusach is something like it's toffel to the person. It's like it becomes part of the, it's part of the part. So, right, but I suppose you can't really argue that because you can do without. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he says it's chatzitza to the klaf. But it's a good point. It's a very good point, because is there such a halacha al chatzitza to the klaf? Yeah, but it's that's what he seems to be saying. Okay, interesting. Yeah. 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 So chatzitza when you take the... Well, that's not seeing. It's the seeing. There's probably the seeing of the klaf. Is that inyan of? Is it indirect? Because I think the question remains a bit better than the answer. I think that it doesn't feel right to use it, but not sure why really. Shulchan Aruch, Karav Eto. Very interesting. Yeah. Yeah, that certainly shouldn't be a problem. That certainly shouldn't be a problem. Imagine if you could shine on, what could be the shaila? What could be the issa? It sounds definitely wrong. I agree with you. It feels wrong. But what could be really, imagine something shining, a projector shining the vowels on the, lechayr should be okay. Can you think of a reason why it should be awesome?
Yeah, a very big safe.
Yeah, it sounds like a, yeah. That's like kosher lamps, latest development. You can all suggest it to them. Yeah. Okay. Koraveto. Now the Shulchan Aruch Seif Aleph says, Koraveto, if you read and you made a mistake, hafilu bedikduk ois achas, even if there's a lack of one letter, ois achas, one letter, machzir and oisa, yes, to go back. V'chein adin, achazna, akoyres, says Rama, it makes no difference. Also the chazan, who reads is exactly the same halacha as well, whether you're the Baal Kore, or the Chazan, or the Oilet, it makes no difference. Whoever reads, if you make a mistake, you have a problem. But that's only if it's a shinui, a change, shemishtani ala deaza inyan. This is only true if there is a shinui through that, that changes its meaning. So that's what the Gemara says. If you're changing the meaning, that's when you have to go back and you have a problem. Havalim ta'a. But if you're making a mistake, benegina satam, if you're making a mistake with the top, with the tune, oi, or benikut, you're making a mistake with the vowels, en machzirin oisa, you don't have to go back. Havol goyrem boy, but you have to protest. Now obviously protesting doesn't mean you have to yell at him in public. It means you have to make a point of for next time that it's a problem. So we're learning, if you make a mistake, you have to go back, even if it's one letter. And then the Rama said, that's only if the meaning changes. He said, if you make a mistake with the top, you don't go back. And he said, with regards to the vowels, also you don't go back. What's the simple error on that? The straightforward question on that?
Vowels.
Exactly. Very often vowels will make a difference. Think about a posh example, chaylev and cholov. A very simple example, chaylev is fat, cholov is milk. Now, in either case, it has a totally different meaning. If you took lois sevash l'gdi becholov, is the mekoyf for flashing a milchik. Lois sevash l'gdi becholov. Yeah, if you're talking about not to have gdi with chelev, that will mean something very different. And similarly, also when the Torah speaks about chelev, then it's going to come. If you talk about cholov, he's going to have a very, very different, Shulchan Aruch. So, very obviously, vowels can make a difference. So, we're going to speak more in details about this in Mishnah Busif Kotan Dalet, which we're not going to be able to learn today. But the answer in brief is going to be, yes, certainly, if there is a meaningful change with regards to the vowels, you're going to change for that as well. So, it's lav dafke. It just means that if there's a top change, which doesn't make a difference in the meaning, or there's a vowel change, which doesn't make a change in the meaning, you have to go back. Before we proceed in Mishnah Berurah inside, I want to ask over here a question that Mishnah Zaman asked, and I'm really starting with the final point of Shulchan Aruch, which is the following. Mishnah Zaman asked, how come you're allowed, he doesn't speak about this in Kuf Mem Beis, but he speaks about it elsewhere. Mishnah Zaman asked a question, he said, why there's a halacha of your goyrim boy? Goyrim boy means protest. Somebody makes a mistake, you have to tell him about it. Rabbi Yisai, to embarrass somebody in public, is that you're allowed to embarrass somebody in public? We all know there's a terrible avera of embarrassing somebody in public. Surely, if somebody leans and he makes a mistake, think about Bar Mitzvah boys, never. He makes a mistake, there's no greater embarrassment than to be screamed at the whole shul. You know, we have people there. It's huge embarrassment. The question is to embarrass somebody is certainly an issa d'oraisa. Everybody agrees on that. To make a mistake in the laning, We're not talking about deraisas. It's very, very bad practice to make a mistake in learning. We have to ensure that our learning is at the best possible level. But you're not talking about deraisas here. So one could argue, says Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, better not to protest, better not to yell at somebody who's making a mistake. Correct, very good. But even if it's not so, so I'm talking about a machzire noisy case. You're right. So Goyen Boy, loved Afka, don't pick my words. You're right. So if it's a case that machzire noisy, how machzire noisy is always going to be an element of embarrassment. What's the answer? Very good, very good. This is the balkei. So you think the only balkei, only the gabbai should do nobody else. Balkei should do quietly and there's no embarrassment involved. Good, very nice. What? But Rabbi Shlomo Zalman actually says what you're saying. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says a very interesting yesod, and he says that any balkei who puts himself on the spot, any balkei is prepared to take the to go. You know, he does it with on a condition, on a basic understanding that if I'm making something, then. So he put himself in this position. He allowed himself this to happen. He put himself in that position. He allowed it. It's not an embarrassment that was done against his will. It's something which is he doesn't have to be a verbalized prior consent, but it's an understood prior consent that if somebody goes and takes the amut, that you fix him for mistakes he does during laning. So Shlomo Zalman goes further, and he said that therefore it's perfectly okay, and there's no problem of embarrassing somebody. Of course, you should do it but sin, if you can, you should do it quietly, ideally the gaba, etc. But if not, you could. You've got the right to do it because he allowed him to do it. So don't take embarrassment into cheshbon. That's what Shlomo Zalman said. Don't take that into cheshbon because he allowed him to do it. He goes further, and he said this is very relevant to other areas of halacha as well. Sometimes people are doing things in public, and they're putting themselves in that position that you don't have to always think about will he be embarrassed or not, because if a person puts himself in that position and he's enabling he does it without prior understanding that maybe people are gonna exactly, if somebody gives a shiur, he does it definitely with a prior understanding that if he messes something up, he makes a mistake, then people should let him know about it. It's a totally self understood, and the Shlomo Zalman said there's no element of embarrassing somebody in such case. Absolutely. Okay, so we learned today. We learned about the kiyah and the ksev. We learned that it's really important to know the kiyah and the ksev if you are a bal koreh. And therefore, he says that if somebody he brings the Shulchan Aruch brings the case of earlier generation that gedolei hador, somebody read leaned in front of gedolei hador, and he read according to the ksev and not according to the ki, and they told him about it and he refused to go down. And he read not according to the Mesoira, and they put him in Cherem, because you have to read according to the tradition. We then moved on to Simon Kufman Base, and we learned the rule of thumb that if somebody makes a mistake, he has to go back Machzir in Oisoi, and we learned it makes no difference as whether the Chazan, the Balkur, the Oile, makes no difference, whoever it is, you are Machzir in Oisoi. Ramo specifies, and he qualifies that, and he says it's only if the meaning is changed. If it's the top, You don't go back. Similarly, if it's a vowel which doesn't make a change to its meaning, you also don't have to go back. But Avol Goyim Boy, you should still quietly tell him about this mistake. Good evening, Aboisai.